Good to see everyone this morning. We're in the book of Acts, the 23rd chapter, and we're going to read verses 10 and 11. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Let us go to the Lord's word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and so thankful for the blessings and, Lord, the opportunity to be here and to worship you. Lord, and as we turn our thoughts to your word, just give us clear minds that we may hear it and apply it to our everyday lives. Lord, we especially ask that if there's those here that do not know you, Lord, that they'll come to accept Jesus as their Savior. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about be of good cheer, and we're going to finish up today. I've been considering this phrase. It's used five times in the New Testament, or five different stories, places, four by Jesus and then once by Paul. And we know that it means to be a good cheer. We've talked about the fact that it is to have courage and boldness of faith. God is good, and God's creation is incredible. So we're going to consider be of good cheer. So I want to go back and real quickly touch on the fact that three times during the Gospels, during Jesus' personal ministry, that he used this phrase, and it's important each time he used it. And he said, "Behold, they brought him to him a man sick of palsy," right? And Jesus, seeing their faith, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven." And we know there's a big discussion there, but be of good cheer, this is what I want us to get. When our sins are forgiven, it should cause us to be of good cheer. It should cause us to have courage, boldness of faith, right? And then I used the verse, it was quoting David, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin." So the very first thing to be of good cheer is when our sins are forgiven. And the second story was he was walking on the water. The disciples were in the boat and they're rowing and they're not accomplishing anything. And he comes walking, as it says, going by them. But anyway, they see it's Jesus. And he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And so they had this terrible incident going on in their life. Literally a storm, a life storm. I've never been out on a boat in a bad storm. I've been in, you know, bad weather, but nothing. This was life-threatening. I've been in life storms, though, that felt life-threatening and were life-threatening for someone else, and chaos is all around. And Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." We don't have to be afraid when everything else is in chaos around us. Amen. God is in control. And then Peter gets out, says, "Lord, let me," and we know all of that. We talked about all of that. But don't be afraid, and so we can be of good cheer. We can have courage and boldness of faith. In Hebrews, I used this verse, these two verses. "For God has said," verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What a promise, right? What an incredible promise. "So that," verse 6, "we can say, the Lord is my helper." So that we can say, "I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So that we can be of good cheer, have courage and boldness of faith. And then the last one that Jesus uses during his personal ministry is It's while he is going to the garden, and he says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Do we have peace in the world? If we're going to have peace, it's not things won't give us peace, people won't give us peace. It is through the relationship of God through Jesus Christ. In the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have conquered. I have gotten the victory over the world so that we can have victory over the world, so that we can have good cheer. Romans 8, verse 37, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're more than overcomers, not because I'm good, not because you're good, but through him, through Jesus Christ, that loved us." So because of these three, because these three things cause us to be of good cheer, we should have two responses. And that's what we are going to look at this morning. And the very first response, we find that this is in the book of Acts. And so this is about AD, somewhere between AD 48 and AD 50 is when this is happening pretty early on. So this is about 20 years after the ministry of Jesus Christ. He's already been crucified, been buried, rose again. So we have the 40 days that he's with his disciples, and then he ascends into heaven. And then there arose a great dissension. And so what is going on here in the context is the Apostle Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. He had had opportunity to witness almost all over the known world, even into Macedonia and into Asia Minor, way beyond the reach of the Jews, and where there is mostly Gentiles. And we see some of those churches. We have Ephesians and the church at Corinth and some of those, Ephesus, I said Ephesians, but Ephesus, Corinth, and some of those churches. And so he had a great desire to go and preach in Jerusalem. When he comes there, he meets with the church at Jerusalem, and he meets with the head pastor, as it is described, and the other elders. James is described as the head pastor there. And because Paul had been preaching to the Gentiles, some of the Jews, he was afraid, James and the church was afraid, that they were going to try to kill him. And so they said, you know, we have one taking an oath of a Nazarite. And Paul said, fine, there's four others. And so they're going to do this. They go to the temple to do it. And then some people from these other cities where he has been preaching to the Gentiles get all upset. And so there is this great ascension and in chapter 22. And basically he is arrested, and they find out that he is a Roman also. And Paul then is allowed to speak in chapter 23. And this great dissension, the chief captain, the Roman, fearing lest Paul is going to be killed, commands the soldiers, "Go down and I want you to grab him from this crowd that is trying to kill him in Jerusalem, where Paul's been preaching, and bring him into the castle or the prison area where they have been keeping him." Fortress is what the Greek word is, not really castle, it's more of a fortress. And it goes on here in verse 11, and verse 11 is really the key. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, now this is 20 years, so this is, Paul has a vision, and this is what the Lord said, and it's in red, Lord speaking to Paul, even from heaven, as he stood in a vision by him. "Be of good cheer, Paul, as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And so as we find that since we have been set free of our sins, we can be of good cheer. God is with us, we can be of good cheer. Jesus has been victorious, we should be of good cheer. And because of those things, we should have a response. And that response, Jesus says, be of good cheer, have courage, have boldness of faith, and testify and bear witness. And sometimes we like to say, well, that's just the Apostle Paul. He had a special calling. And he did, right? But here's the thing. We all have the calling of being a witness. And wherever we are, Jesus had a special mission for Paul. He has a special mission for us. Now, I don't have to go preach in some other city to fulfill that. He may lead me to do that, but I can fulfill that right here. And it's interesting. He says, you've testified of me. So witness, how do we do that? Sometimes we get scared of, you know, how do I know that I'm going to be able to tell people what to say? Luke 12:12, Jesus says, at the time and hour, the Holy Spirit will help you what to say. I believe that. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't study. But the other thing is, testify of me. Tell what the Lord has done. Bear witness also of me. In dealing with this witness and because of what God has done for us, forgiven us of our sins, and he helps us and takes care of us and has the victory, and we should be have courage and boldness of faith, so we should be willing to tell others. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? That's a pretty powerful promise, really simple. But it's interesting, it goes on and it asks four questions. How then shall they call in him on whom they have not believed? Right? So whosoever shall call upon him, verse 13, shall be saved. But how are they going to call on whom they haven't believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The word is better translated proclaimer, one who tells, one who bears witness, one who testifies. And how shall they preach, bear witness, testify, proclaim, except they be sent? And we know that Jesus sent his church, right? And when we go, it's not just the pastor that's to go, or the deacons, or Sunday school teachers, but we all have the responsibility to go and bear witness. Amen. And to testify, be of good cheer, telling others what God has done for us. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. It does take some boldness, right? To stand up and to tell people, you know, to live our life, and then when they ask, to be willing to tell them, you know, what is that that makes your life, what is it that makes your life different? And it's interesting, he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony, to testify of the Lord and what the Lord has done according to the power of God. Here's the thing. When we testify, we don't do it in our power. We have help. First of all, as a saved person, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And what does it say there in Romans verse 15? And how shall they preach, proclaim, testify, bear witness, except they be sent? There's also the Holy Spirit as comforter who works with the church that he sent as his witness to proclaim him. And so this power, it's not in our power. And I'm going to turn over there. Luke, it's Luke 12:12. It says, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't study, but, you know, there's been times in which whatever the opportunity has presented itself, whether it's just as I'm going and somebody stands before me, and, you know, and when I used to work my secular job, and you know, somebody, they knew I was a pastor, and they'd come and say, you know, this is happening, what should I do? And it's like, I don't know. I mean, right? I mean, why? But the Lord has answers, right? Someone will call and say, you know, Brother Harlan, help. And it's like, I'm thinking before I talk to them, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And it's amazing how that when I don't know what to say, when I am before them, the Lord gives you literally the thing to say. The Holy Spirit, it's hard to describe, but if you've ever witnessed and done that and shared, and somebody, you know, asked questions, and it's like, and it's okay to say, I don't know. When they ask a question, I don't know. We can get an answer, right? We can go back and study. I can find it. I can look it up. I can help you with that. And obviously, the most important thing is if they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Apostle Paul, in Romans 1 verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 defines that good news as the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, the gospel includes lots of things, but one of the things it includes is presenting salvation, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to Jew first and also to the Gentile. And it's interesting, the gospel is what God uses. It's the power of God. So according, we witness with God's help, and people are saved with, right, God's help. Actually, it's only by God that people are saved, right? The power of God unto, to bring, God would have everyone be saved. But what do they have to do to be saved? What did Romans 10, 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believe in Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we get worried about how to witness, and I like the Apostle Paul. He wrote a good portion of the New Testament, right? So theologically, Paul could have, and we see in Acts and in other places, he has many theological debates, and I don't know that he really lost the debate, right? First, he's inspired, but he knew how to deliver the word of God, even the deep things of God. But it's interesting that when it came time for Paul to witness, chapter 24, chapter 28, even chapter 22, it's interesting, every time he witnesses, he doesn't go into some great deep theological discussion. Even Old Testament verses and showing that Jesus is the Christ. Now, when he preached, he often did, but when he was just witnessing, he literally told what Jesus did for him. It's interesting, his testimony of what happened on the road to Damascus is recorded three different times in the book of Acts, because that's how he told people, you know, tell people what God has done for you. What a powerful message. And that theme is presented in witnessing and in what we should do in the book of Psalms. And I really like how it's presented. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, obviously we should be thankful, telling of all his wondrous works. Just tell people what God has done for you. Whether what God has done for you through salvation, or what God has done for you in the last week, how God has blessed you. There's just so many things that God has done for us that we can praise him and tell others about what Jesus has done. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Not in my strength, right? We witness, that's what Paul told Timothy, we witness in the power of God, go in his strength. I will make mention of thy righteousness, what God has done, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared wondrous works. What has God done, right? And it goes on and on. What has God done? Talk of all of his wondrous works. Make me to understand thy word so that I can talk, so I can better describe you and who you are and what you've done for me in my life. I will speak of glorious honor and of thy majesty, of thy wondrous work. Sometimes we get so worried about how we're going to present Christ. Oftentimes we do it just living every day, and people see what God has done for us, and they want that in their life. And so they may very likely come and ask. It's interesting that in sharing God's wonderful works, people can come to know, right? Need a proclaimer, and when they hear, then they can believe. That was those four questions. But it's also interesting in Psalms, it says, look at the last part first, and believe not for his wonderful works, right? And what happens when they don't believe our message, right? For all this, they sinned still. They're still in their sins if they don't hear the wonderful message. It's not on us. I've said this from time to time when we try to witness. I think sometimes we take on more than what is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to live for Christ so people can see Christ in us. When opportunity presents itself to proclaim the word of God, to be ready to give an answer. But we don't save anybody. We don't convict anybody. That's really, really important. I used to really put pressure on people, and I have found that sometimes I can do more harm. I have learned God is much better at convicting than I am. I need to do what is my part, and that is the proclaiming. That's the preaching. I can't save anyone. I can't force anyone to be saved. I can't scare anybody to be saved. Boy, but the Lord can work on their heart, and that will change a person to want to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The second way in which we are to react or respond to the being of good cheer, the fact that our sins are forgiven, the fact that the Lord is going to help us and take care of us, and the fact that he has won the victory. And the third one is when Paul is on a ship, they're trying to take him to Rome. Remember, God appeared unto him and said, look, you've testified of me in Jerusalem. You will bear witness of me in Rome. And it's interesting, these two, be of good cheers, are tied together, and they're trying to get Paul from Jerusalem to Rome, and the captain, the one who's responsible, decides he is going to take a shortcut and do it by ship. And Paul tells him before they leave, look, this won't end well. We should not do this. The Lord's told me this isn't the way to go. And the guy's like, you're a prisoner, right? You know, I'm not supposed to do what you're doing. My job is to get you to Rome. And so now this storm has come up, and they're afraid all is going to be lost. And Paul says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. The angel of God doesn't possess him, but God, right? That's who I belong to. And that is who I serve. I serve God. And the angel of God gave me this message from God. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Remember, Jesus has already told him, you will bear witness of me in Rome. But God has now reminded him, because this is looking pretty dire, even for Paul. He's like, uh-oh, are we going to make it? And God sends a message, and he says, you will be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sell with thee. Because of you, Paul, I'm going to spare everybody else too. Now, we don't know how many of these people are saved, not saved. I'd imagine before this trip is over, we have some other people who are probably believing and accepting Christ our Savior and following the Lord. And it shall be even as it was told, God reaffirms the message, then were they all of good cheer, and they took some meat. And so Paul told them, be of good cheer. I believe God. Verse 25, right? That's what it says. So three times here. So the first time, Paul tells them, be of good cheer. The second time, he says, be of good cheer. And why he can be of good cheer, why he can have courage and boldness, is because he believes God. And because our sins are forgiven, because God will take care of us, and Paul is experiencing this, because Jesus has already won the victory, so we can have the victory, he says, be of good cheer. We can have courage and boldness of faith. I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told. God will take care of us. We just have to put our faith in him and believe. And then they were all, I think that's interesting. So Paul tells them two different times, be of good cheer, I believe God. And because of his faith, what's their response? They were, right? Faith can be contagious. It's interesting, as Paul put his faith in the Lord, they're like, what? Paul, we're all going to die. And he's like, no, we're not. I have faith in God. It's going to be okay. And the story here is the captain is all running around and everyone's like, oh, no, we're going to die. And Paul says, stop. Let's eat. And they're like, what? We're going to die. He says, let's eat. And they take calm. And they took some meat. And then afterwards, they start lighting the ship. They start doing in a manner that is helpful. And boy, this be of good cheer and living a life that our sins are forgiven, and knowing that God is going to help us, and knowing that we have the victory because Jesus is victorious. Living that, right? That's the thing. When we live that, and I would have done the witness afterwards, but I did it chronological in Acts. When we live that, that in itself is a witness. And Paul is so powerful. And we see he does end up in Rome, and he ends up a very powerful witness. Paul says this in Galatians, and we've been looking at the book of Galatians. In Galatians 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Boy, be of good cheer. Have courage. Boldness of faith. I live in this life, in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Brother Chris was teaching this morning, and in Galatians, we were, Galatians 5, verse 7. And Chris, if you mentioned these verses, I don't remember, you may have, but they stood out to me. And there Paul to the church, the churches, they're plural, he writes to multiple churches there in the area of Galatia. And he says unto them, he says, you did run well. Boy, you exercised faith. You were doing so good. in your obedience to the Lord and in serving the Lord. And you did run well. You were doing so well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And if you obey the truth, how do we obey the truth? By faith, right? By having courage and boldness and in exercising that and obeying the truth with faith. And then verse 8, he says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And a better way to word that is, you choosing not to obey was not because of Jesus. I don't know what hindered you, but it wasn't Jesus. Jesus is the one that does all the good stuff for us, the forgiving us of our sins, the promise to help us, the giving us the victory, to give us this boldness and this courage. In closing, I just want to review. I find it so interesting how that these five stories, and it's, you know, what an incredible phrase. It is used in the Old Testament, and at some point, I don't know if it'll be next week, but at some point we're going to look at the Old Testament phrase too. But these three things cause us to be of good cheer. Set free from our sins, be of good cheer. God is with us, be of good cheer. Jesus has been victorious, be of good cheer. And because of those three things, our two responses should be of good cheer and testify of me. And the second one is be of good cheer and have faith in God. So what is your response? So how are we doing? You know, ask yourself the question. First of all, have you been set free from your sins? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? And even if you're a child of God, boy, we can, even as a child of God, we can get in bondage to sin, can't we? So sometimes we need to go back and do what 1 John 1 verse 9 says. If we'll confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just to do what? Forgive us of all our sins. And God is with us. Claim that promise. How are you doing with that? Are you running around being afraid of everything? Sometimes I forget, and you know, some life will deal me some bad thing, and first time, you know, my first reaction isn't always the way that it should be. And Jesus is victorious, and so we should have the response of living by faith and testifying of Jesus Christ. If the piano song leader will come forward, let's all stand. What page you got for us?